open our meeting tonight by singing hymn number 18. Hymn number 18. God loved the world so tenderly, his only Son he gave, that all who on his name believe, its wondrous power will save. Number 18. God loved the world so tenderly, his only Son he gave, that all who on his name believe, its wondrous power will save. God so loved the world sing number 30. Hymn number 30. Weeping will not save me, though my face were bathed in tears. That could not allay my fears, could not wash the sins of years. Weeping will not save me. Jesus bled and died for me. Jesus suffered on the tree. Jesus waits to make me free. He alone can save me. Number 30.
Weeping will not save me, though my faith were big in tears. That could not happen.
Turn with me, please, to the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 5, and verse 35. Mark 5, 35. 4, 35 through chapter 5, beginning at verse 35 of chapter 4. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was, in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send him away out of the country. Now there was there, nigh unto the mountains, a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils, or demons, besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirit went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told it in the city, and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus, and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion, sitting, and clothed, and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed, and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. 35 years ago, my wife and I went into the heart of Africa, and at that time, I didn't suppose that there was such a thing as demon possession. I rather doubted it. I didn't deny it, but I questioned it. But I hadn't been there more than 2 weeks when we had opportunity to realize that there was such a thing as demon possession. A very solemn thing, a very hideous thing. And since being in this country again for many years, I'm convinced also that all the demon possession isn't in Africa, that there's a good deal of it right here in this so-called Christian country. And so tonight, if there be one here who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as his or her Savior, you are lost and you are under the control of Satan and you're hellbound. And you're a friend of mine, I love you. And what I have to say tonight is not to offend you, but to seek by God's grace to help you. Because here in this account read, we have a very plain picture of a soul that's lost and doomed for distant darkness from God. It's a sad picture. And I believe the things that are true of this maniac, this demon-possessed man of Gadara, are also in a very marked degree true of you. And if you're honest before God and with your own heart, you'll have to admit that it's so. We have here, first of all, this man's condition. And it's a pathetic condition. We find that he's naked. And that's the way that God sees you outside of Christ. You're naked. It tells us so over in Hebrews chapter 4, I believe. We have a word there that would answer to this condition. In Hebrews 4 and the 13th verse of Hebrews 4. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Remember, God sees you. He knows the condition of your heart tonight. He knows whether you're in Christ or out of Christ. And so, that's the way God sees you. If you're outside of Christ, you don't have on the robe of righteousness, you're in your sins, and before God, you're naked. And you're going to have to stand before the great white throne, naked, and in your sins. And notice the throne is white, no mercy there, no blood there. It's only God's righteousness and God's holiness, and you'll stand there, and you will condemn yourself and justify God. Your mouth will be otherwise closed. You'll be speechless, as we read in another gospel. Well, this dear soul, we find, was there among the tombs in agony and naked. And you know tonight as well as I do, and I know from experience too, having gone on in my sins for a number of years, that I was in agony, in awful misery, and afraid to die. But I thank God for bringing the gospel to my heart, my ears, and that I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ 45 years ago and took him as my Savior. And I can recommend him to you tonight. He is able to keep as well as to save. And he's able to satisfy all whom he saves. He certainly does. And we praise him tonight for his great faithfulness. Regarding that thought of nakedness, let us take a look at Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. That's a description of a lost soul. And we have another one over in Isaiah 57. As we were approaching the African shore, the captain of our liner asked us if we would like to see a very interesting sight. We said, yes, we'd be glad to. He said, come up with me on the bridge, and I'll show you something. And he said, do you see that murky, grimy stream coming out from the Congo shore? He said, we're 100 miles from land. But he said, that is the Congo River forcing its way out into this placid blue Atlantic and churning and bringing up mire and dirt. And I thought of this verse in connection with the lost soul in Isaiah 57 and verses 20 and 21. A very fine description of a wicked heart. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Ah, what a very pointed description of a soul apart from the Savior. And God sees your heart tonight. He knows your need. And that's why he sent the Lord Jesus to die on Calvary, that his precious blood might be shed to cleanse your wicked black heart from sin. And so we read something that might be a help to you tonight over in Isaiah 64. You know, man is born with a thought that he's pretty good and that he can do something to help save himself, that his good works might perhaps add a little bit, and his benevolence and all of those things that he might contribute to a better way of life might add to help him to be saved. But God says no. Leprosy is a very common thing in the tropics, and we spent a month in one area where there was a leprosarium that cared for 350 lepers, and we noticed all types of suffering and emaciation and decay and putrefaction. Some had their ears off, some had their hands off, some had their feet off, others had holes in their faces and rags stuffed in the holes to keep the flies from going in out of their head. And there they sat, just slowly dying. Well, you know, that's the way God sees your good works. He sees your good works as filthy rags, just like those rags that are around the sores of those lepers, just like those awful, filthy bandages. He wouldn't think to take those bandages to try to make a necktie or sew enough together to make a shirt. No, they're filthy. Well, God says here in Isaiah 64 and 6 that your righteousness, your good works, are just like those filthy rags. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, leprous rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. So you see, dear soul tonight, your helplessness before God. Apart from God's grace, there wouldn't be one of us here saved tonight. Apart from his love, apart from his son going to Calvary, shedding his precious blood, dying on Calvary's cross, going into that grave there for 3 days and three nights, being raised from among the dead by the power of God, none of us tonight could know him as our Savior. None of us could be safe or saved from hell. But because he died, because his precious blood was shed, because we have his wonderful gospel to proclaim, there is hope and there's help tonight for everyone here who doesn't know the Lord Jesus. You own yourself as one who is lost, who is undone, who is helpless, and who is without hope, and you come to him and you cry, as we heard night before last, God be merciful to me, a sinner, and you take him as your Savior, and all will be well with your soul. Yes, indeed. Well, we have here this man dead. As far as God was concerned, as far as the Lord Jesus was concerned, he was dead in trespasses and sins. And that's the way God sees you tonight. Outside of Christ, any soul outside of Christ is dead in trespasses and sins. You don't have spiritual life. You're half dead at least. You're physically alive, but before God, you're dead. Spiritually speaking, you are dead, and you need to be quickened by the Holy Spirit of God. And so tonight, we thank God for his precious gospel, for his wonderful word, for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that cleanses hearts from all sin. This man was unclean. It tells us so. Well, sometimes, you know, people take great offense when you tell them that they're sinners. I walked into a home one day, and there was an aged lady sitting there, and I read to her Romans 3:23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And she was nearly 90. And she said, I never sinned. I never did anything wrong in my life. And she got up and she was going to put me out the door. By the time the breeze hit her, she cooled off. And I said, now listen, you take this Bible and read it for yourself. Here it is. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I said, that means you as well as me. That takes you in as well as me. And it means that you haven't anything that you can claim before God that would save your wicked, lost soul. You must have Christ as your Savior. You have to come God's way, just as I did. And you'll have to come now, because you're getting close to the end of life's journey. Well, over in Psalm 14, we have what some people say, you know, and they're very bold to say it, but they do, and it's pathetic that lost souls should take such liberty with the truth and claim themselves to be sinless, to be perfect before God. I remember one time our late brother Hayhoe said on the train, he met a man. And this man said, I don't believe in God. He said, man, he said, you're worse than a fool. He said, because the fool has said in his heart, there's no God, and you said it out loud. You said it out loud. And so here it tells us in Psalm 14, and this is God's word, the fool has said in his heart. We haven't called you that. It's God's word itself that speaks to you. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Now that takes you in. It takes me in. Apart from the sovereign grace of God, I'd come into that category tonight, as well as anyone behind the bars in the penitentiary. And I often tell the boys that I go in to talk with them that there's only one difference between me and you, between you and me, and that is you got caught and I didn't, because I'm just as bad as you. But for the grace of God, I'd be right back in that behind that bar with you. But God saved me and kept me from going into such a depth. And tonight we can proclaim to you the gospel that is able to save your soul and bring you hope and bring you help and bring you eternal life through faith in the finished work of Christ. Well, this man was going about there in agony, and he was homeless, you notice. It tells us in that second verse that he was living out there among the tombs, and he was an unclean spirit. And there he was in such agony that he was cutting himself, just a mangled mass of flesh and blood and mud, cutting himself day after day with stones, sharp stones. Oh, yes, we've seen him carry on that way in the Congo. Yes, it's a terrible thing. But thank God we've also seen some of those witch doctors accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I had one come to me one day with his idols, his basket of idols, and his name was Sakambunji. He said, "I've come to give you something, white man." I said, "Oh, what is it, Sakambunji?" He said, "I have taken the Lord Jesus as my Savior. I've come to give you my idols, my whole basket of idols, and I still have them." I said, "Well, that's wonderful." And it wasn't long until he came back a second time, and he said, "I've been reading God's Word, and I want to be baptized." Oh, I said, "That's wonderful. That's wonderful." But I said, "I don't know you." I said, "There are some of your elders sitting out there under the tree. You go and talk to them about it. See what they have to say regarding your conduct and your change of life." Well, they came and they said, "Well, Sakambunji really has been living a different life. He used to commit murder. He used to be a terrible man in the village. He used to divine and cause too much sorrow and fear and suffering. But he's a different man." Well, they said, "We think he should be baptized." So it was my privilege, before leaving that part of Africa, on one Lord's Day morning, while there were about 700 on the bank of the Zambezi River, to baptize dear Sakambunji along with 17 others. A saved soul, an ex-witch doctor, saved by the power of God, by the grace of God, and transformed by grace divine. And he can do the same thing for you that he did for Sakambunji. And you're just as much in need of that salvation tonight as Sakambunji was. Exactly. Because you're in the clutches of the devil. You're in the power of Satan. You're shackled. And you're in bondage. And so tonight, that's why we have this gospel meeting. We read that this man was dangerous. Over in Matthew 8:28, said he was dangerous. People feared him. They didn't want to come near him. He was dangerous. Well, I've met some folk in this country that I believe would classify as dangerous. We have some back home in Des Moines that the police don't want to even have anything to do with. They're scared of them. And these police are being shot. They're being beaten up. And they're afraid of these men. They're dangerous. They seem to have definitely come under the control of Satan. And they really strike terror into the hearts of the people, snatching purses and breaking into houses and stealing and causing great havoc night after night. Oh, I think some of that is perhaps demon possession. Well, be that as it may, there's hope and there's help. And so tonight, we thank God for the power of the gospel, the power of the precious blood of Christ that can break the shackles of sin and set the sinner free. Bring him into a new life in Christ through faith in the precious finished work of the Lord Jesus on the cross. Well, we go on here and we see something else as to this dear soul. He was going on in a miserable manner, and I was thinking of something that my wife read to me last summer. We were traveling along. We're reading a portion concerning Isaiah 1 and verses 5 and 6. And I think I'd like to pass that on to you tonight. A little thought from Dr. Wolston as to this precious portion over here in Isaiah chapter 1 and verses 5 and 6. I believe it's verses 3 and 4. Yes. Isaiah 1:3, "The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider." There was a farmer one time standing by his fence, and he thought of that very verse And he said, my cow knows me. She comes up and she licks my hand. But he said, I don't know God. I don't know God. I don't know him. And so here it says, the ox knoweth his owner. And the ass is master's crib. But Israel doth not know. Do you know? Do you know? Do you know God tonight as your Father? Do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? But Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. Well, what a sad thing to be going on in agony of soul and to be going on in a hopeless path with no light, with no hope, no help ahead. Only distant darkness, and to be cast into a place where there is nothing but hatred and darkness forever, because God's not going to be there. Where you're going, there's no light and there's no love, because God is light and God is love. And so where you are going into a lost eternity, you're going where there's going to be intense hatred and dense darkness. Oh, and that's going to be forever. Think of it. You will never get out of that. There'll be no exit. There'll be no place where you can find repose or rest or relaxation from the awful dense darkness and hatred and wailing and gnashing of teeth that God's Word tells us about, and the Lord Jesus tells us about ten times over. And that's the place you're going to. Well, I'm so glad tonight that we have something that speaks of deliverance here, that which is wonderful, and we rejoice tonight that there is deliverance for you. And we notice here in the first part of this reading that the Lord Jesus comes through a storm there in verse 35 and 36 through 41. There's a very terrible storm. And would that not speak to our hearts of the storm the blessed Lord Jesus has come through to reach you? He came through this storm to reach this gathering, and he has come through the storm of God's wrath, the wrath of a just and righteous and holy God against sin, there hanging on Calvary. He bore all that storm. All those waves and billows went over him for me, for you. And he said, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why? Why? And he also said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That was his first cry there on Calvary. And the last cry, over next to the last, it is finished. And oh, tonight we would invite you to trust in him, that you might rest in that finished work. That finished work, that work that he completed to the satisfaction of God in heaven. He met all the just requirements of a holy God, a righteous, just, and holy God against sin. He met it all, that you might have the Lord Jesus as your substitute and go free tonight. Go free and have the joy and peace of knowing that your sins are forgiven, knowing that all is well, you have a clear title to heaven, knowing that you'll be there with him and like him in that glory seat forevermore. Turn to Acts 26:18. Ah, yes, it's this wonderful, wonderful gospel that we have to proclaim that can set captives free. Acts 26:18 tells us this. To open their eyes, and tonight your eyes are closed in blindness. Blindness to the beauty that there is in the Lord Jesus. And I like the words of the blind man when he said in John 9:25, one thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see. Oh, tonight, can you see? Do you see beauty in the Lord Jesus? Do you see him as your Savior? Or do you just see him as a good man, just a teacher? Well, he wants to open your eyes tonight, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. That verse reminds me of a man in the penitentiary over in Ohio who was in death row, and the mother of this lad, this young man, wrote a very sorrowful letter to the governor of the state of Ohio. This happened years ago. Oh, she said, he's my only son. Can't you go and do something for him? Can't you set him free? Can't you cancel his sentence of death? Well, the governor decided, yes, I'll go, see what I can do. The governor wrote out a pardon, he put it in his pocket, and he took a Bible under his arm, and he went over to the penitentiary, and he asked the warden. He didn't tell the warden he was the governor. He didn't introduce himself to this prisoner. He just went in, and with a Bible under his arm, and he tried to speak to this dear young man about God's word. And this young man said, get out of here. I don't want anything to do with you. I've had enough preachers around here. I don't want anything to do with you. And I want you to go, and I want you to go now. And the governor told him, said, I have some very good news for you. I have some very good news for you. I don't want your good news. He said, I tell you, get out. And he went out. And the door closed behind him. The cell block was again locked. And the warden came back, and he said, you know, he said, the governor, that was the governor, he told me before he went out of the penitentiary that he had a pardon in his pocket for you, and you wouldn't have it. You refused all the good news that he wanted to bring. Oh, he said, I thought he was a preacher. I thought he was just another preacher. He said, and I told him to get out, and he went. Oh, the Lord Jesus has come to forgive your sins. Will you have that forgiveness tonight? That's what we read about here. To preach the forgiveness of sins and to turn men from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. Will you have the, will you have the pardon? Will you have the deliverance? You know, a pardon is of no value, of no good whatever, until it's accepted. And if you won't have it, it won't do you any good. If you won't have the Lord Jesus, he can't help you tonight. But if you'll have it, he'll help you. He'll deliver you, as he delivered this maniac, this demon-possessed man of Gadara. Oh, tonight, we thank God that there is deliverance. And you know, it tells us here plainly that the Lord Jesus made the first move. That man didn't come to the Lord Jesus. No. God's Son came through that store and made the first move to come to the man of Gadara. And the Lord Jesus has come all the way from heaven's glory. He came right to where I was on a little farm in southern Minnesota. He's come right here tonight, right where you are. He's come to save your soul. He's come to do it. And he wants to deliver you tonight from your wretched condition. Oh, God so loved the world. That takes you into, you're in the world. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his only Son, that whosoever, that takes you in, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you want that life tonight? It's for you. God is not willing any should perish. He's not willing any should perish. He gave his Son that you might be redeemed, that you might be born again, that you might be delivered from the powers of darkness into light, and from Satan unto God. And from death and darkness to life and glory forevermore. Oh, it's for you tonight. Yes, it's free. You can't pay one penny for it. You can't work one moment for it. It's free. Not of works, lest any man should boast. All of God's sovereign free grace. Boy or girl, man or woman tonight, God loves you. He so loved you that he gave his Son. And he wants you to be born again. He doesn't want you to perish. He doesn't want you to go out into darkness, into eternal damnation and separation from God forever. No, no, he doesn't want that. That's your choice. That's not his. He has made it possible through the gift of his only Son, through his death on Calvary night, that you might be born again, that you might be delivered, that you might be saved and safe forevermore in Christ. Well, we have here this wonderful case of deliverance, how this man recognized the Lord Jesus, as we have there in verse 7. And he cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God?" Even that demon-possessed man recognized the Lord Jesus. "I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." For Jesus said unto him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit," the voice of power. Come out of the man. And he has power tonight to deliver you from any shackle that's holding you, from any power of Satan that's binding you. He has power tonight to deliver you. He said, "Come out of the man, the unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, saying, "My name is Legion." Oh, a legion means anywhere from 4,000 to 6,000. Think of it. From 4,000 to 6,000 demons in that man. What a terrible condition. "My name is Legion, for we are many." And that's why he was uncontrollable. He was under the control of approximately 5,000 demons. They'd tie him up like we heard the other day. He'd break the fetters. They'd tie him again. He'd snap the chains. And here he comes now to Jesus with the chains broken and dangling from his wrist. He's coming, and he's coming home. Oh, tonight, won't you come? Won't you come and have the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Ah, yes, he wants to deliver you from the power of darkness. And he besought him much that he would not send him away into the country. And so he went into the swine. And then we come on down, and we find in verse 15, and they come to Jesus. These are the populace now, the people. They had more care for those swine, those 2,000 herd of swine, head of swine. They had more care for those swine than they had for that man's soul. They said, they come to Jesus and they see him that was oppressed. Well, it tells them in the 14th verse, "And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him." Ah, this shows us where the minds of people really are. They had more care for their possessions than they had for this man's soul. And the Lord Jesus said that the value of a soul is worth more than the whole world. And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And they thought that their swine were far more important than this man's soul. But here they find him now. He's sitting and clothed and in his right mind, having the mind of Christ. And we have here in Isaiah 61 and 10 a little bit about that garment. I wonder if you have that garment on tonight. In Isaiah 61 and 10, that's the way they found him, clothed now, the man who had been naked and in agony and cutting himself with stones, roaming about the tombs, and in such fierceness, here he is now sitting in his right mind. And here we have in Isaiah 61 and 10 this lovely verse about that garment of salvation. "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garment of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels." Are you clothed tonight in that robe of righteousness, the righteousness of God in Christ, or are you still in your sins, naked before God? Oh, you know, and God knows. We can't see your heart, but God knows. And he would have you tonight to be clothed in the garment of salvation, that you might not be naked in that day before the great white throne. Oh, it's a wonderful, wonderful account how they saw him clothed and in his right mind. Oh, they were afraid of him before. And such a change has come over, and they're still afraid. And so they go and tell it abroad to the people. And then this man does something I'd like to see more dear saved souls do. You know, we're praying for unsaved, for lost loved ones, and we've been praying for you tonight. And God's Word tells us very plainly that everything is possible with Him. Why, we had witch doctors and medicine men that we said, "Woe am I, it doesn't seem possible God can save them." But He did. He did. And here in Mark 10:27, it tells us, "And Jesus looking upon them saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God." Keep on praying for your lost loved ones. Not with God, for with God all things are possible. All things are possible. It's possible tonight for souls right here to be set free from the shackles of sin. It's possible for unsaved, lost, hell-bound souls tonight right here to be transformed by grace divine and to about face and be turned toward the Lord. Turn from going toward the pit and turn toward glory right here tonight. It's possible. And God wants to do that very thing. With men it is impossible. We can't do it. But with God all things are possible. So we just take God and His Word and believe that He can bring about the transformation. And remember, it's God's love. Here in His love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for sin. To be the one who would die on Calvary's cross as our substitute, if we would have Him as our Savior. He wants to be your Savior tonight. I'm no better than anyone else. Nobody else here is any better than you. We're all on the same plane, so to speak. God is no respecter of persons or creed or color or caste. He wants you to be saved. Whosoever will may come. And that takes you in, that takes me in, that takes you boys and girls in. Whosoever will may come. This poor maniac came. He believed. He was set free. His shackles were released, and he came just as he was. Well, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to those that are lost. And if you don't want to open your blinded eyes, if you don't want to come to the Lord Jesus tonight, you'll go on in your darkness, you'll go on in your sin, and you'll go on down, down, down to a lost, endless eternity. But there's hope tonight, and there's help. But I like what this man did, and as I say, I would like to see more doing it. It tells us there in verse 18, "And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed, and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel." These old chiefs and witch doctors used to come to our veranda. They'd heard the gospel, and they couldn't read, but they said, "You know, we want to go and tell our friends what we believed yesterday that changed our hearts. Now tell us that story again. Tell us slowly now. Read it to us so we can understand it, and we want to go and tell our people." I'd like to see boys and girls, young men and young women doing that very thing. Have you confessed Christ yet to your mother, to your father, to your wife, to your husband? Take a look at Romans 10, 9 and 10. Oh, if you have come to know real peace in the Lord Jesus Christ, have you told anybody about it? "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." If you have that peace, have you made it known? Have you told someone else about it? Romans 10, 9 and 10. Oh, this is so important. Dear lost souls tonight, if you take the Lord Jesus as your Savior here, now tell somebody about it. Make it known. It tells us in Romans 10 and 9 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from among the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Have you done that yet? If not, why not? Are you ashamed of the Lord Jesus? Are you ashamed of the one who died for you on Calvary, whose precious side was pierced, who was there bearing that awful load of God's just judgment against sin? Are you ashamed of him? He died for you. He died that you might live. Are you not willing to confess it? Would you not like to make him known tonight to your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your wife, your husband? Or are you just going to go on and hide, as it were, your light under a bushel or under the bed? Well, I like what it tells us over in Psalm 107. It tells us there in that second or third verse what you should do and what would make your heart happy if you did do it. It says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." Psalm 107, verse 2. "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." And I remember a couple of years ago, a year and a half ago, Brother Eric Smith said, you know, he said, "I've had a good bringing up." He said, "I have had a good bringing up. I've been brought up out of the miry clay." Turn to Psalm 40, and it tells us about that. Have you been brought up out of the miry clay yet? If you haven't, you better make it your business tonight to take Christ as your Savior and be brought up tonight out of the miry clay. Here it says in Psalm 40, verse 1, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord." Are you trusting in him? Have you been witnessing to anyone that they might trust in him? Oh, tonight, this poor soul, he was told by the Lord Jesus to go home to his friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Oh, that would make your wife happy tonight. That would make your husband happy tonight. Your brother, your sister, your father, your mother. If you just tell, "I took the Lord Jesus as my Savior last night," or "I took him as my Savior tonight." Like one little lad over in Seattle, Washington, he told me, he said, "You know, I took the Lord Jesus as my Savior tonight." "Ah, yes." And I said, "Well, how are you getting along?" After a couple of years, I saw him again. "Oh," I said, "just fine. Just fine. I'm still happy in the Lord." Yes. He was telling others. Another little girl about 10, 11 years ago down in California, down in Fullerton, she took the Lord Jesus as her Savior one night along with three other young people, and three of those four have gone on nicely. One has gone back. But on Monday morning, she told her boyfriend and girlfriend, as she was walking along down the street to school, "I took the Lord Jesus as my Savior last night." And she said, "And I'm going to be baptized this week. And Brother Barry here tonight baptized her in Santa Ana swimming pool." And she's been a credit to the assembly, a joy to her parents' heart. Oh, tonight, why don't you confess Christ to your loved ones? If you take him as your Savior, ah, yes, in the last verse, let us turn to Psalm 66 and verse 11. Oh, a lovely thought there. In Psalm 66 and verse 11, "Just come to the Lord Jesus. Believe on him with your heart. Confess him with your mouth." Psalm 66 and verse 16, I should say. "Come and hear, all ye that fear the Lord, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul." Oh, make it known. It's well worth telling abroad. Shout it from the housetop, so to speak. Let others know that you know the Lord Jesus. Oh, they won't understand you. They'll probably make fun of you, and you have reproach to bear, and so on. I know what it means. I was the first to accept Christ in my home, but then I saw my mother get saved, and then my sister, then my two brothers, and finally my father before I went home to glory. Yes. And he can save your soul tonight, and he can give you joy and set you free and use you to speak to others that they might know him too as their Savior. He wants to do that for you, and he'll do it right here and right now. Well, may we close with that precious hymn, number 12. "Just as I am, just come as you are, with chains and shackles, come as you are, and he is the one who can set you free and give you peace and give you joy and give you that eternal life that he alone can give, that will give you eternal joy and peace in believing in his precious finished work on Calvary. Number 12. "Just as I am without one plea, but that Bye.